Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Welcome to Little Satara, regular and new people. It's good to have everyone here. Announcements. I didn't really take much time to look at the announcements and see what's in there, but I trust that you will. Is anyone aware of any announcements that they want to call special attention to? Pam? And that's Dominican Republic, not Haiti. Yeah, that was Matt, actually. I probably would have missed it as well. It sounded good enough to me. It sounded like the right place, but yeah, Dominican Republic. Any other announcements? I wanted to say that it was fun to be at the tractor show yesterday. It was fun to, I like the Monte Carlo. I don't know, the orange Monte Carlo out here, I don't know how many people saw that. That was awesome. But anyway, it was a fun day. I guess that's it for the welcome and announcements.
I invite you to rise for our call to worship this morning. We're going to use the back of the bulletin and we'll recite that together. Our call to worship in a moment of time. And it's about waiting. And how many times are we called in our lives by the Lord to simply wait and to be patient. And it's difficult at times, but we know that, especially if you're a father here this morning or have children, you know that waiting and expectancy of that first child coming. So together, let's read in a moment of time. We wait. We count down the months. She says, it's time. Call the doctor. We travel the short distance to the hospital. We wait. We count down the hours. The doctor says, it's time. Get ready to push. We count the time between contractions. In a moment of time, everything becomes new. The doctor says, congratulations. It's a boy. The nurse hands me my son. We wait. God waits. God counts the centuries. God says it's time, and God saw that it was good. Created in God's image, we travel through time and space. God gave us commandments. God sent us prophets. God said it's time. Then God gave us his only son. In a moment of time, everything has become new. God counts us part of the new creation. God says it's time. God waits. So the waiting is over for worship to begin. If you're able, join in singing God Make Us Your Family, supplement number 36.
Thank you.
It's indeed incredible to be part of God's family. Amen. We want to rejoice 3 weeks and three weddings. It's been exciting, but it's been exhausting too. So it's good to know the weddings are over for the summer until the last month. And just welcome Mary Hartramp and Kyle James into the family of God, and as they reunited as one yesterday. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family?
Back in, I guess, January, I had asked for prayers for Rachelle Buckwalter. She went through her 6 weeks of chemotherapy. Tomorrow she is scheduled for her bilateral mastectomy. So definite changes and prayers for that family. But then her husband got word yesterday that his nephew Colin was in a very bad bicycle accident. He's in an induced coma right now. When they relieve the sedation, he is showing signs of following simple commands and things. Broken tibia, two broken thumbs, pretty bad. And from what I understand, he's about 12 years old, so they have a long road ahead of them.
This is for myself and all those people who forget to read their bulletin. Please review the prayer concerns. And at the top of that list, it says prayers for the shut-ins and elderly not able to be with us. So without mentioning any names and getting in any more trouble, please remember our shut-ins and our elderly in the coming weeks. And also remember the people on that list, because sometimes we often overlook what's in our bulletin.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to take a copy of the bulletin, and if you have magnets, you put it on your refrigerator. And if you're like me, you get in the fridge a lot, and so you get to be reminded of what to pray for, who to pray for that day. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, good morning. Just want to have a joy to share. Feel yesterday we had another successful car, truck, tractor, and motorcycle show, and I would just like to thank everyone who helped and attended yesterday. It was a beautiful day. I thank you.
Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this incredible moment to be together as your family, as a family of God. And Father, we know each day presents its own issues, but Father, we know in those days that you are with us. We know that we're never alone and we're never forsaken. And so we just thank you for the assurance of your presence with us every moment of every day. And we know, Father, as we struggle, we know, Father, as we deal with different things, that it can often get trying. It can often get very difficult within us. But Lord, we just hand that to you. We know that you're bigger than anything we face. So we just trust you, Lord, and we give you all things in our lives that we're dealing with right now. You know, Father, our hearts. You know what's happening to us even in this very moment. And we just say, Lord, here I am. I want you to deal with what I'm dealing with. And we just thank you, Father, for enabling us to have soft hearts, to be able to receive what you have in store for us. And we just think, Father, of Michelle this morning. You know the procedure she's facing. We pray for peace and calm. We pray for success, Lord, that she would be able to be out of those procedures and in better health, and just be with her family, be with those that have gone through difficult times, and know that the road ahead is still long and the recovery process will take weeks. And especially this morning, we lift up Richard to you and just pray you would continue to be with him, be with Lisa as well, and just bless them, Lord, and let them know your presence in a powerful way. We think of our dear little friend Mason this morning and Daniel. We lift them up to you this morning. And Father, I just pray your love would just pour out upon them. Your blessings would be with them. And they would just have such overwhelming joy because of your presence in their lives. And just thank you for the healing, for the direction that you have been giving the doctors and those that are working with them. And just thank you for their families as well. We think of New Beginnings Church this morning, and we ask that you would be with their leadership, their pastor, with their church family this morning as they worship together and as they go through their days, Lord. We pray that you would just be a blessing to the New Beginnings Church, and just thank you, Lord, for Kelly and for Jean and Mary this morning, and just continue to be with them as they recover from their procedures, and just give Mary an extra dose of your love and just wrap your loving arms around her, Lord, as she goes through different stages in her life. And we just thank you, Lord, again for gathering us here in this place. We know that we don't take for granted what you have done for us. We know your son has died on the cross for each of us, no one excluded. We know that your son rose from the dead and he is alive, and we serve a risen Savior. So we thank you, Lord, for that knowledge this morning, that we are forgiven, we're free, and we have new lives before us. But we're going to confess this morning, we make mistakes, we sin, and we just want to take pause. We want to take a moment out of our mornings and just say to you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So during these next few moments of silent prayer, we confess our sins to you and receive forgiveness, and we walk in that freedom, never turning back to those sins, but we also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Father, we just thank you again for the forgiveness that you offer through your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the new life that we have. And even in this moment, some of us may feel, you don't know what I've done. I can't be forgiven. But Father, may they know through your son, Jesus, through his shed blood, that they are indeed forgiven. They can take a new path in life. They can live holy, righteous lives, pleasing before you. And we just thank you for that opportunity to do so. So continue, Father, to work in our hearts, to soften them, and to lead us into those paths of righteousness. We thank you this morning for every man that is represented here, for the fathers, the grandfathers among us, the great-grandfathers. And we just pray your blessing upon them. Their call in their lives is magnificent. They are spiritual heads of their household. And we just pray, Lord, for every dad here, every granddad here this morning, that you would just enable them to be a walking replica of who you are, that grandchildren might know you through their witness. And we just thank you for every dad. We think of dads that have gone on before us, grandfathers that have gone on before us, and the legacy that they've left behind for us. And we just thank you, Father, for who these dads have meant to us, these granddads have meant to us, and what they've given us in our lives. And we just pray, Father, that you would continue to help us be like them in the way that they walked with the Lord and the example they set for us. We pray for all children of God here this morning. And Father, you know the blessings you have for each of us. And we just pray that we would be obedient in our walk with you, that we would be patient, and we would just wait, knowing that those blessings are among us, they're within us, and we have that knowledge of salvation, the greatest blessing of all. So help us, Lord, to just remember one another, encourage one another, and uplift each other. And we just think of the 12-year-old in the bicycle accident and just pray for a special touch upon him. You know the bones and everything that's been affected in his body, and we know you're the master physician, so we pray your special hand of healing upon him, and just bless him, Lord, in this time and his family as well. Again, Father, thank you for letting us be here together as a family to worship you. And we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Father's Day is a very fitting time to sing about our Father, taking our hand and leading us. Today's offertory thought I'm pulling from James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I think of how this world changes constantly, and God does not change, and his gifts are the best gifts. So let's try and honor God with our gifts and give him the best gift we can give.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the offerings this morning. We thank you for the beautiful special offertory music and the blessings of graduates this morning. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your perfect gifts that are always pleasing. We thank you for the way that you continually provide for each of us, and we just give in return as we have this morning and ask that it would be a blessing to you and it would be used for your glory and for your honor. And we just praise you in all things, and it's in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. At this time, I'd like to ask our two high school graduates to come forward, Jack Myers and Dakota Himmelberger, as well as their parents, so we can have our Bible presentation. Dakota Himmelberger is the son of Jen Spira and her husband Dale, and Roger Himmelberger and his wife Erin. Dakota is a graduate of Tulpehocken High School. This year he received the American Legion Award for baseball. And Dakota will depart for the United States Army Airborne Division on July 23rd. Jack Myers is the son of Mark and Karen Myers. He's a graduate of Warwick High School, and he will be studying at Elizabethtown College this fall to pursue computer science. Jack plays the piano, thank you, and also auxiliary percussion, and would like to continue his passion for music on some sort of level during college as well. So to the two graduates, over the last several years of your high school careers, I'm sure you've spent a lot of time learning lessons and being offered words of wisdom, especially in the last few months surrounding your graduation, from parents and peers, teachers, youth leaders, pastors. I'm sure that many people have offered their choice words to share with you regarding your futures and the decisions that you've been making. So I don't have my own words to share with you, but I do have the words of our Jesus to share. And you know that you'll find these words of life for your lives in the pages of the Bibles you're about to receive. In John 15:16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." The God who created our universe cares enough about you and knows every detail of your lives. He chose you to be his sons, Dakota and Jack, at the cost of his own son, so that your every sin could be forgiven and that you could receive the ultimate gift of eternal life. God chose you to love you, to save you, and to bear his fruit. And we pray that you'll commit your futures to your Savior, to choose him to walk with you into your futures, and to commit every day of your lives to him. These words in your Bibles describe the amazing lives that God intends for both of you. And we pray that you will turn to his word daily and always remember that your church family loves you, will continue to cover you in prayer, and will continue to ask for God's guidance in your lives so that you'll bear the fruit that will last. So on behalf of the Christian Education Committee and your entire church family, I'd like to present you both with the Life Application Bibles. Jack, congratulations. And Dakota.
Now, notice what your Bibles say in front of them. They say life application. Sometimes you read your Bibles and you're like, what does this have to do with my life? Well, guess what? It's going to give you a little footnotes that show you what and how that applies to your life. So how incredible of a gift it is from your church family and the Christian Ed. Can I pray with you guys? Is that cool? All right. Father, we thank you so much for Dakota. We thank you for Jack. We thank you for their families. Father, you know the future ahead of them. You know the direction they're going. But Father, we also know you have far greater plans for us, and you may take them in different directions. I pray they would be submissive and obedient to whatever your call on their lives may be. But Father, they have chosen their specific paths as they have graduated high school, and we're so very proud of them. And we know you too, Heavenly Father, are proud of them. And we just pray you would go with them for every walk of life that they face from this day forward, Lord. We pray that they would know they're being prayed for. We pray that they would know that you are traveling through every step with them and will guide them and lead them, if only they would allow you. So we just pray, Father, they would have open hearts and open minds to know that you're in control. They can try to be in control as much as they want, but Father, you're going to guide them, and you're going to just give them all that they need, and we pray that they would receive that. And we just thank you for just the opportunity to know them, and we just bless them in their journey ahead. And it's in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Well, did you know today is a special day? What day is it?
Father's Day.
Yeah, Father's Day. Did you let Dad know this morning that you loved him? Thanked him for all his hard work? Yeah, today's Father's Day, and we want to give thanks for the many important things that dads do. So I brought some things here in my bag that remind us of all those important things that dads do. So I'm going to have your help in picking them out of the bag for me, and we'll talk about them, okay? So the first one I'll pick out, okay, because this one reminds me of my dad. What is it? You can say it. Yeah, tractor. It's a John Deere tractor specifically, because my dad's big on John Deere. We grew up in a green household, not a red. John Deere green was what dad always had. We have lots of tractors at our house because he grew up on a farm. So many dads are farmers, right? So they work hard to help provide things for everyone else, like food and milk and eggs, all those important things. So this reminds me of our dads who are farmers, okay? So let's see what else is in the bag. You want to pick one out, Olivia? Ooh, that's a heavy one. What is that? A hammer, yeah. You want to hold it up and show everyone? A hammer, what is a hammer used for? Fixing things. Yeah, we can fix things, we can build things, we can repair things. Many dads are good at fixing things around the house if they're broken, right? So that reminds us of their hard work that they do. A lot of our fathers are handymen. Yeah. Let's see what else is in our bag. You want to pick one, buddy? Go ahead. Ooh, careful. What is that? It's just a mini version. What does it look like? You hold it like this. What is that? You know? What is it? It's a baseball.
Bat,
yeah, let's help him out. It's a baseball bat. So, did you, some dads love sports, right? They help with sports, they coach, they cheer from the sidelines. Some dads even play sports with you or play games at home. Do your dads play with you at home? Yeah? So that's what this baseball bat reminds me of, that some dads like to play with us, they like sports, they cheer for us. Let's pick another one out. Ainsley, would you like to pick one? Go ahead, pull that one out. What is that? Say it's a truck, right? A truck or a car. So I couldn't bring in a real car, obviously, into our church, right? Too big. But I brought this little car, and it kind of reminds us that dads help drive us around different places. Did dads help drive you around at all? Yep, they drive the car or truck, and they help get us to places. And I have one more thing in our bag. Let's see what's in there. What's that?
A dollar.
So money. Good. Money reminds us that some dads may work at home, but a lot of dads have a job that they work hard at, that they help provide money for our family, right? And that money buys us what kinds of things for you guys? What do you think? Stuffed animals. Yeah. What are the things that we need?
Food,
yeah. Dads work hard to provide money so that they can buy food for us so we can eat. What about our clothing? That's important, right? Clothing. And there's many other good things like stuffed animals that money buys. So dads work very, very hard. So I'll take my objects back. So those are just a few things that dads often like to do, but each dad has their special gift. I'm sure your dads all have a very special gift and a special way of helping us out. So since this is Father's Day, it's the perfect time to remember all that they do and to take time to say thank you. If you don't have a dad living with you, you want to make sure that you say thank you to the people that help take care of you. So the Bible says that all of us have God as a father as well. Although we can't see him, he is real. He knows us, he watches over us, and he loves us very much. So I hope that you can take time today to say thank you to your dad or whoever looks after you. And we also want to take time to say thank you to God, our Heavenly Father, who also looks after us. Think we can do that? All right, let's pray. Thank you, God, for all of our dads and grandpas and those who take care of us. They are very important to us, and we're so grateful for all that they do. Also, thank you for all the other people that look after us day after day. We also want to thank you, God, because of all of us, because all of us have you as a wonderful Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go back to your seats.
Our scripture for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that love is evident in our lives, and love is something that flows down from heaven. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, a Father that we can always turn to. No matter what we're going through in life, we can cry out to you, we can rejoice with you, and we can know that you are with us. And we just pray now, Lord, that you would be with us as we open your word, as we learn more about what this love is all about through the eyes of a father who gave a blessing to a son. And we just thank you, Lord, for loving us and for giving us this opportunity to know you deeper. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. I read this story recently. It was entitled "The Day That God Created Fathers." On the day that God created fathers, an angel of the Lord stood in the background and watched. Lord, the angel asked, are you sure you know what you are doing? If children are so close to the ground, why are you making fathers so tall? After all, they will need to kneel down if they ever shoot marbles with their children. They will have to lean way back above and over to tuck them in at night. And they will have to bend so far down to kiss and hug them. The Heavenly Father said, don't worry, I know exactly what I'm doing. If I did not make fathers so high, what would children have to look up to? Then the Lord made the hands of the father. They were big and rough and they were awkward. The angel asked, have you really, really thought this through? Those fingers are so big, they're so clumsy. How will they be able to handle the pins of a diaper or unbutton that little button? They'll never be able to take a rubber band off a ponytail or remove a splinter from a finger. God replied, relax, they will be just fine. They're big enough to hold all the things that a young boy takes out of his pocket at the end of a day. And they're large enough to cup the face of a child. God continued on and made the legs of a father long, bony, and hairy, not very attractive at all. And then he gave the father these large, broad shoulders. The angel asked, Lord, do you realize what you have done? You have just made a father without a lap. How's he ever going to be able to hold a child close to him without that child just slipping right through his legs? God answered, mothers need laps. Fathers need broad shoulders so that they can pull a sled in the wintertime and balance a bicycle in the summertime and cradle the sleeping head of a child after church. Then, just as God was in the middle of creating two of the biggest feet that you have ever seen, the angel said, that's just not right. Do you really believe those two big feet are going to get up in the middle of the night and respond to a crying child? God answered, they'll work. You shall see. They're big enough to support a father who is pretending to be a horse while his child is riding to an imaginary castle. They're also big enough to give the child big shoes to grow up into and to fill. And then God the Father gave fathers a strong, authoritative voice and gave him eyes that could see everything and yet remain calm and in control. And last of all, God gave the father tears. Then he turned to the angels and he said, do you still doubt I know what I'm doing? Father's Day comes with a lot of memories. There's a lot of sayings that our fathers have said over the years. And you can probably remember Dad saying, go ask your mother. Or just wait till I get home. One of my favorites is, when I was your age, I used to walk to school in the snow. And let's not forget, it was uphill both ways. Dads, we know, can be very busy. They're not always around. My dad wasn't around much, but those times we spent together were priceless. I pray my kids will always remember those fishing trips, those road trips, those daddy-daughter dates, those father-son outings, those late-night chats by the fire, those times where we spotted deer and the famous sheets runs at any time of the day. I realize it's the best thing that Abby now works there. But this past week, I heard a story about a father who was asked, "Who is in charge at home?" And he answered, "Well, my wife bosses the children, my children boss the pets, and I can say anything I want to the TV." But you know, when we think about it, fatherhood has changed a bit in our society, hasn't it? But there is one thing this morning that has not changed. God's perception of who the Father is. God's perception of who the Father ought to be. As our scripture read this morning in 1 Corinthians, particularly verse 11 of chapter 13, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child." But then it goes on and it says this, "When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." Friends, that's it. God's looking for men to be men, dads to be dads. There comes a time, men, we have to grow up. It's okay to have fun. We can act like kids from time to time, but grow up when growing up needs to happen. Our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids deserve that much. They need someone they can talk to in all seriousness. So this morning, I want us to turn to a story about a dad. His name was Isaac. Isaac is giving a blessing to his son, Jacob. In this blessing, there's important truths to be learned. So my prayer this morning is this, that all fathers not only pass on blessings to their children, but they are also a blessing to their children. As you remember, Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons. Their names were Esau and Jacob. They were nothing alike. Esau was an outdoorsman. He had those hairy arms and hands, and he loved to hunt and to fish. Jacob, on the other hand, we could call him a mama's boy. He was always at home around his mother. So here we are in the 27th chapter of Genesis. Their father, Isaac, has grown old and he's blind. He decides that it is time to pass on the blessing to his oldest son. Now keep in mind, if you know history, a Jewish father's blessing was a formal passing on of the father's honor and authority to his oldest son. Now, since the oldest son assumes the leadership responsibilities of the family or tribe, he receives a double share of the father's possessions. So this giving of this blessing is a rather big deal. It's verses 2 and 4 where Isaac tells Esau, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." So Esau leaves, and while he's gone, Rebekah, his wife, seizes the opportunity to secure the blessing for Jacob, who, let us be reminded, was her favorite. So she quickly prepares some tasty food, I'm imagining steak and potatoes, and tells Jacob to put on Esau's best clothes. As if things can't get any worse, Rebekah goes on to help full blind old Isaac by putting goatskin on Jacob's hands and arms to make them feel hairy. You want drama? Turn off the TV. You've got drama right here in our scriptures. Then she actually goes on to send him in with the food to ask for Isaac's blessing. It's found in verses 27 to 29. "So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said," I had trouble with this the first service too, "Oh, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." Who says that? apparently Isaac. And he goes on, may God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. In a way, what a blessing. Better than hot fudge sundaes on a sunny day with whipped cream and cherries on top. So after he receives this blessing from his father, guess what he does? He immediately leaves. What a nice guy, right? So shortly thereafter, we don't know the time frame, but shortly thereafter, Esau, remember the one who's supposed to get the blessing, which, mind you, was Isaac's favorite child, came in with the game that he had killed and prepared and was ready to receive his father's blessing. Listen in on verses 33 and 34. It reads, Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. When Esau heard Daddy's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But there's important truths to be learned here this morning. There's ingredients of this blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob. So let's whip up a batch of great parenting and grandparenting this morning. So first, add a significant amount of meaningful touch. Verse 26 says it, then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. Friends, this is not an isolated incident in Scripture. Almost every time a blessing is given in Hebrew culture, it involves touching, the laying on of hands, a kiss, an embrace, something that conveys acceptance and love. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark says that people brought children to Jesus so that he could touch them. Remember, Jesus took them and placed them on his knee and laid his hands upon them, and the scripture says he blessed them. Jesus knew exactly what children need to feel loved and accepted. It's a love language that many kids, many adults have and can't thrive without. Friends, there is power in meaningful human touch. We have to remember Jacob was actually 40 years old when Isaac gave this blessing to him. Still to this day, even though Abby's 17 now, we try our best to give each other hugs. It gets a little more awkward as they get older, but don't be afraid to hug your children. When you see them, when you leave them, that's the first ingredient of this blessing. We also want to add the ingredient of a spoken message. There is power in friends, in words to friends. They can hurt or they can heal. Listen, as Isaac blesses his son in the last part of verse 27, there it is again. Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field. Now, in today's culture, I have two boys, so I'm not sure the smell of a field would be what I would be saying. It would be more like, dudes, could you go get your shower right now? But to an old outdoorsman like Isaac, who thought he was speaking to Esau, the smell of a field about ready for harvest was an awesome smell. It was a compliment. It was a positive message that communicated love and affection. So here's our goal, and this applies to everyone here this morning. Let our compliments outnumber our criticisms. Let our compliments outnumber our criticisms. It might go something like this. What a great job. You're amazing. I'm so proud of you. I'm glad you're part of our family. Did you notice that? Were you listening? That felt pretty good. It made the heart go pitter-patter. They lifted us up. They encouraged us. They're way better than, son, you should give up. You're never going to amount to anything. Why do you even bother getting out of bed? You see, those words just tore down that son. They caused him to isolate. He no longer really wants to interact with that person. So they retreat, they hide. So maybe this morning you're in that place. You need to hear those words from your Heavenly Father who's saying to you, you are so valuable. You are so valuable that I sent my Son into your world and he died on the cross for you. So this morning, if you're feeling down, draw your value from the fact that you are a child of God. Friends, see yourself as God sees you. That's something this morning and every day of our lives to cling to. God sees all of us and loves us all the same. There are no favorites. We have his undivided attention. If the TV's on, if you're trying to concentrate on something other than your child or grandchild when they're in front of you, turn it off. Put away the phone. Put the newspaper down. Focus on that individual, if it's a child or another person who is in front of you. Every time I take that opportunity and I look into my child's eyes, I can see their emotion. You can see what they're dealing with. You can see wonder and amazement. But when we're distracted, we're missing out on that moment. But know that God sees those things as well. I remember as a child, I was always anxious to tell my parents about my day. But I also remember my parents being so busy, they didn't have time to listen. So maybe that's you this morning where, you know, your parents are going this way, going that way, and they just don't have the time. Be reminded this morning that you can talk. You can shout out if you need to your Heavenly Father. And he is very present in your life. And he will lead you and guide you. So please take a moment. Look at those precious children in your lives, no matter their age, and listen as well to what they have to say. It communicates a value that you're worth something. You're more important to me than any ball game on the TV or any newspaper article I could read. You are a valuable part of this family. Tell them, I'm so blessed that God gave you to us. And never, never hesitate to say, whenever you need to talk, I'm here to listen. We all need friends and family like that. But even greater as we head into the following weeks is the ingredient of a glorious future. In verse 29, Isaac says to Jacob, may nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who cursed you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. You see, Isaac is helping Jacob to raise his sights and see his future is bright. There's no doubt what's right in front of us is what most often consumes us, and we're afraid, we don't want to miss what's happening in front of us, to look ahead. But our children, our kids that we interact with, need to know they have a bright future. If they're happy at their job, if they're at that age, giving it all they got, that's great. There's certain things that I remember from my childhood, other things I feel the Lord has blocked on purpose for me. But I always remember my parents saying to me, I believe in you, son. Whatever you decide to do with your life, we are behind you. And when we truly think about that, our kids deserve that same blessing. For us as parents, as grandparents, as acquaintances, every single day to say, we believe in you. We know that you have a bright future. We're so proud of you. But even if you don't hear that from your parents, your grandparents, or acquaintances, you can imagine in this moment, God is looking down and he is saying, I am well pleased with who you are as my son, as my daughter. Live in that joy. Rejoice in that knowledge. Now, obviously, Isaac wasn't an ideal father. He made his share of mistakes. We all do. But he was surprised to give this blessing, as well as the blessing of the future Savior Jesus, to his son Jacob. And yet, in his own way, he wanted to give it to Esau instead, his favorite son. There's a lesson to be learned for all of us. We can't play favorites. Isaac directly disobeyed God when he did this. It didn't help that Jacob and his mother practiced deceit to get this blessing from his father. So before us, there's two sinners in the form of a father and a son. So today, perhaps it's time we take a long, hard look at our parenting, our fathering skills. No, in this moment, we can confess to our Heavenly Father, we've made mistakes. I haven't always got it right. I've said things I've regretted. I've put my time and energy into earthly things, maybe a job or a possession. But we know our Father realizes that we fall short. He too realizes that it's a new day, that we can make a stand on that solid rock. We know that we can be rescued. But more importantly than anything this morning, know that Jesus was willing to put his life on the line for each of you. In other words, he took the bullet intended for us that could have caused eternal death. So the great news is this: by his death on the cross, we who have been incompetent fathers can now be viewed as competent and righteous fathers in the sight of God. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needed to hear this. Our sins of selfishness, our sins of harsh words, our uncaring spirit are paid in full by Jesus. You see, we're part of a family that will be together forever. So fathers in this room, let's move forward. Let's get past the mistakes and let's realize we've been forgiven. Today, let's love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, at the end of the day, the best thing we can do as fathers for our children is to love their mother. Fathers, today, let's be a spiritual example in our homes. Let's make worship on a Sunday morning something important to us that our kids see in us. Because the reality is this: like it or not, the example we set about God, the example we set about the church and spiritual things, make a permanent impression upon them. Fathers and everyone that are gathered here today, know that your Heavenly Father believes in you. Let's live with this knowledge that as our Heavenly Father has been a blessing to us, we too can be a blessing to everyone in this world. Would you pray with me? Father, we know that there is newness ahead. Father, we know the sin that has stained our lives, and we confess it. We lay it all before you and we let it go. No longer will it entrap us. No longer will it hold us down from truly knowing that you believe in us and are taking us places we never thought we'd go. So let us be fathers that you have called us to be. Let us be mothers you've called us to be. Let us be friends and family that you have called us to be, to love. Love's not just a noun, love's an action. So let us serve each other humbly. Let us love one another with complete patience and compassion and forgiveness. But Father, today is a great day to celebrate fathers, and we celebrate every father here in this room. We celebrate fathers that have gone on before us, and we just rejoice in this knowledge that you are a father we can look to, that we can emulate, that we can seek for advice in which direction to go with those children in our lives. So Father, help us to continue and to maybe for the first time be a blessing to others. We thank you for who you are in our lives, for what you are doing, and thank you for this time together, knowing that together we can love well. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
The great news is this, friend, we have a solid rock that we can stand upon. All the ground around us is sinking, but in the midst of anything we're going through, we have a solid rock in the name of Jesus Christ that we can stand upon. Go from this place in courage, go from this place in peace, knowing that knowledge that Jesus, our solid rock, is always someone we can stand on. Amen. Go in peace.